today I wanted to do kind of a twofold thing. I want to look at a particular individual in Scripture, but I also want to use the template of this message as kind of a Bible study method for you. I mean, some of you, maybe this Bible study thing is still fairly, you know, you're how do I read the Bible? How do I get the most out of it? How do I take a passage and how do I, you know, what do I do with it when I read it? And the interesting thing about the way this message is formatted is it gives you kind of a way to look at Scripture, to look at an individual in Scripture, to take a passage of Scripture and read it and get the most out of it and apply it to you. And so hopefully today as we go through this and I share these insights about the person that most people have heard of but don't know who he is, Hezekiah. In fact, Hezekiah is usually the book in the Bible we cite when we don't know where it's from. 1 Hezekiah 4:17 or something like that, right? Since there is no Hezekiah Bible book in the Bible, you know, you can pretty much quote it and say, you know, Hezekiah 4:17, God helps those who helps themselves, that kind of stuff, right? That was Ben Franklin 4:17, yeah. Anyway, there you go. So we're going to talk a little bit about Hezekiah, and we're going to look at his life. We're going to try to glean some principles from his life and see if what we can learn will give us a format, one way that we can actually look at Scripture and study it for ourselves. So I want to start by reading from 2 Kings, chapter 18, 1 through 7. Just 1 through 7. So it's not a very long passage, but there's a lot in here that I think can really benefit you today. And we may spend a few weeks or maybe a while looking at different individuals in Scripture, looking at their lives, how they lived, and determine over the course of the next few weeks, you know, what can we learn from their lives. So here we are. In the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. Now remember, this is the time when Israel and Judah had had their split. So we have the kingdom of Israel to the north, the area of Israel that used to be known as Judah, which later became known as Judea, has split off, Jerusalem being the capital of Judah. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. He removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made. We'll talk about that later. For up to that time, the Israelites had been burning incense to it. It was called Nehushtan. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord, and he did not cease to follow him. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses. And the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. So today I want to share with you a fairly simple method of Bible study as we look at the life of Hezekiah. Now this method kind of encourages us to do three things. Number one, it encourages us to look at individual people in Scripture. So today we're going to look at Hezekiah. Oh, his little fancy scroll there on the wall. Do you like that? Look at individual people. I appreciate Chandel kind of pinch hitting for Ron. Ron got food poisoning yesterday and kind of woke up in the night feeling pretty ugh. So Chandel has officially become supermom. Saw her over there balancing the baby while she was running the overhead. So officially become supermom category, which also reminds me, are we allowed to say anything? Baby boom. Everybody congratulate Darren and Kelly because, yeah, they're expecting now. Yeah. Yes, them. Anybody else want to make an announcement? Or no, okay, that's fine. All right. And the other thing about that, too, that Laura and I realized, we haven't done a baby dedication in a while, and I haven't talked to a lot of those of you who have newer, younger families about maybe having a couple baby dedications sometime over the next few weeks or a few months. So if that's something you'd like to do, come talk to me about it, and I can explain that process. So, okay, we're going to look at individual people in Scripture. Number two, we're going to examine how they lived their lives before the Lord. We're going to examine how they lived their lives, which we're going to do with Hezekiah today, according to this passage of Scripture. And then, I use the word glean, as in, you know, when you glean the wheat, you try to get the good and separate it from the bad. We're going to glean principles that we can apply to our lives. Principles. You know, oftentimes, the Christian walk is about a principle that you apply. like that song you keep reminding me of, Joel. There's a, I want a principle within. You know, it's not always about, you know, it's this or that. It's about understanding a principle that God wants you to understand and applying that to all of these areas of your life. So now just keep in mind here, the key word here is principle. Now I realize that God is not a one-size-fits-all God. He's not a respecter of persons. When I say respecter, it's not that he doesn't respect people, but it's not that he respects one person more than the other or less than someone else. He's not a respecter of persons, as the New King James might put it, or he does not show favoritism, as the New International Version might put it, or some of the other translations might put it. But he is consistent. And so what I want to explain is if we look at Hezekiah and we see Hezekiah living out certain principles and God responds in a particular way, then what we glean from that is if I live that same kind of life, it's very likely that God's going to respond in that same kind of way. Now, you know, we're not trying to control God or anything, but understand that if you know, Paul had this attitude and God responded this way, then maybe that's an attitude that we want to attempt to adopt. You know, there's a behavior there that we want to mimic. There's something that we want to learn from Paul, from Hezekiah, from David, you know, from the example of Jesus, you know, from Rahab, from Mary, from Martha, from Lazarus. You know, these people that, in essence, sometimes we refer to as heroes of the faith. Acts 10, 34, 35, the verse says, Peter began to speak, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right." He is consistent. So a principle that worked for Hezekiah is a principle that will work for you. Now remember, it's not about following a magic formula. It's not about following a magic formula. It's about you living consistently and every day being who and what God has called you to be. So it's more than just, you know, if Paul did that and God did that, then I want to do that. It's more than just doing what Paul did, you know, or doing what Peter did. It's being what God made Paul and being what God made Peter, so that he will respond in kind, so that you'll be able to see God work in your life. You'll see the Holy Spirit work in your life the same way that he worked in them. Now, what I want to look at this, the interesting thing that jumped out at me in this passage is the end result. If you look back at 2 Kings 18:7, how did that passage end that I read? "And the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook." Now, that jumps out at me. Two things. The Lord was with him, and he was successful in whatever he undertook. Now, is that something that you'd like? I mean, let's be honest here. I want to know the Lord is with me. And I want to know that if I do something, that it might actually work. So what did Hezekiah do? How did Hezekiah live his life that God would choose this response, that God would choose to touch him in this way, that God would choose to, in essence, bless him in this way? Well, you know, this passage is a ready-made sermon, in essence, because you can go and you can see just bam, 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 all the different things that Hezekiah did, how he lived, that, in essence, achieved this end result. Because we have a part of this that we need to uphold on our own. So in verse 3, the first thing that we see that Hezekiah did is that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Key word right, but the key, you know, the key phrase also there is the eyes of the Lord. So much for relativism, right? We live in a society of relativism where people do what's right in their own eyes. They do what's right in the eyes of their friends. They do what's right in the eyes of their coworker. They do what's right in the eyes of their boss. They do what's right in the eyes of someone else. What about absolute truth? What about what God says is true? We talked a little bit about this in the teen class this morning. You know, it's very popular for people to get philosophical about truth. And, you know, it's okay, what's right for you doesn't necessarily have to be right for me. And what's right for them, I'm glad it works for you, and that doesn't work for me. And if you think 2 + 2 = 4, that's great. But, you know, really, I know it's 3, so that's fine. See, and right there, I've exposed the weakness. Because the reality is, in the physical realm, there are laws. I could choose to tell people that gravity doesn't work for me. But if I jump off the building, I will fall. Because the law is the law when it comes to physical laws. We had our married couples group last night, and he talked a little bit about relational laws. You break the relational laws. You know, I mean, you can be a guy and say, I'm just going to treat my wife however I want, and she's going to like it. And, you know, you'll be sleeping in the doghouse a lot. Because you're breaking a relational law. You've got to treat the girl with respect and love her. Just like there are spiritual laws that a lot of people are in denial about, and there is absolute truth in those spiritual laws. You can say, that's great that works for you, but this works for me. We end up spending a lot of time in denial. So Hezekiah wasn't really interested in trying to do what he felt was right. He wasn't really interested in following his heart. He was interested in doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Very important. Very important. Important. So much for relativism. Second thing that he did, and I'll try to explain this, he removed the high places. He removed the high places. That is, he got rid of every idol and everything that pulled the Israelites' focus away from trusting in God. The Israelites were always going back to these old ways of life. You know, if you remember a year or so ago, my brother-in-law Mike Score was here and he shared a message called American Idols and talked about how in ancient biblical times, idols represented to people old habits and comforts, methods of controlling God, superstitions. You know, and so for the Israelites, when it didn't seem like God was panning out, they'd go back to the high places where they would worship the old gods. And so, you know, Hezekiah is like, no, we're not even going to leave this stuff here as a reminder of what you can go. God is our plan A, and the idols are not plan B. So he went and he smashed the sacred stones, which they weren't the, you know, godly sacred stones, the Asherah poles. Even something, if you remember, God had commissioned Moses to build this bronze snake when the Israelites were being bitten by the snakes. And he was supposed to lift it up, and when they looked at the snake, they were healed of the snake bites. And it was very much an image of Christ becoming sin, like the snake on the pole was representative of Christ on the cross becoming sin, becoming that snake for us. Even to this day, the image of the snake on the pole is used by the American Medical Association. But, you know, this is something that Moses fashioned that was an item. And the Israelites had taken it and begun to worship it as an idol and gave it a name, as if it in and of itself had any intrinsic value. You know, I'm sure Moses must have, you know, they probably, if his staff had still been around, they would have named it and put it in a shrine and worshipped it. The Ark of the Covenant was still in existence. They probably would have started worshipping. They were always going back. You know, what happened? He comes down off the mountain and they're worshipping a golden calf that they had just made. And Aaron's excuse was, well, it was an accident. I mean, we just put the gold in the fire and out came this cow. And that's literally what the Bible says. He said, you know, oh yeah, like, I'm going to buy that. Because they were always going back to the old comforts, the old familiar places. Do you see where I'm going with this? The old comfortable places. The things that would draw us away from God, that would draw us back from what God wants us to do. And even in our minds, 2 Corinthians 10:5 talks about casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. There are times you got to go into your mind, you got to clean house. Smash the sacred stones, tear down the Asherah poles, get rid of the bronze snake and anything else in there that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You see the principle here? Because these things interfered with number 3. Trust. He trusted in the Lord. So the real question then you ask yourself as you're looking through this, you know, do I do what is right in the eyes of the Lord? Or am I more concerned with my reputation? Am I more concerned with what other people think? Am I doing what's right in my own heart as I see it? You know, am I casting down those arguments? Am I taking control of my thought life? Have I cut myself off from all of those idols, those past things in my life that pull me away from trusting in the Lord? Who do I trust? Do I trust myself? Do I trust my friends? What do I trust? But he trusted in the Lord. The word trust, to take refuge in, to be confident in, to be sure of. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. He will direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Verse 6, number 4, he held fast to the Lord, did not cease to follow him. He held fast. When you glue something together and it's a good kind of glue, it holds fast. I got to get that glue from you. I keep forgetting that. My daughter's violin, the one that, well, it's really Joe's violin, that he got at the auction is coming apart. And I wasn't sure if I should just put some wood glue in there. And then we talked to somebody who played violin and said, no, you don't want to use wood glue. It's a special hide glue did I just hear windows shut down? Oh, okay. I'm thinking, I'm recording the message. Okay, I'm just making sure we're not having computer problems. So this hide glue apparently is great for wooden instruments. It's used for violins particularly because it will hold very fast. But then if you ever need to take it apart to repair it, you heat it up and it lets go. Well, that's kind of a neat thing. So I need to fix her violin. That way, if I send her back to violin lessons this week, Athena won't look at her and go, it's not fixed yet. But a glue that holds fast, something that will not let go. Do you stubbornly cling to the Lord? Do you stubbornly hold fast to him when other things want to pull you away? How stubborn are you in holding fast to the Lord? How stubborn are you in following him? You know, some of us have been raised to give up far too easily. I didn't know where to go, so I went home. Didn't ask for directions, didn't make any phone calls. We just sort of give up. Do we give up when it comes to, you know, when things get tough, when things get rough, do we just kind of let go and flow down the stream, or do we stubbornly cling and hold fast to the Lord? It's even related to the word cleave. When we see the word cleave in the Old Testament, a husband cleaving unto his wife. You know, there's kind of a strength and an intimacy there that is implied in that. But the key word, focus. Focus. What's your focus? Where do you have your eyes? And the fifth thing that we see that Hezekiah did here, verse 7, he kept the commands of the Lord. He kept the commands of the Lord. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. End of discussion. If you love me, you will obey what I command. You can say, I love you, Lord, but unless you do what I've asked, I can't believe it. Peter said, I love you, Lord. He said, feed my sheep. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Do the work. Do what I've asked you to do. If you love me, do it. And so we see this example now of Hezekiah, somebody we don't know a lot about, and somebody who made mistakes, you'll read later in the Old Testament, made some mistakes and some things went wrongly for him. But we see this general snapshot of his life as a man who did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, removed all those things that would drag people away from the Lord. He trusted in the Lord. He held fast and clung to God and kept the commands that the Lord had given Moses. And what was the result of that? The Lord was with him, and he was successful in whatever he undertook. You find yourself frustrated? How come nothing I ever do works? How are you living this example out? I mean, God gave us this book for a reason. You know, you don't read this and then say, well, I guess that worked for Hezekiah, but I don't think that's going to work for me. It's the same God. He's not a respecter of persons. Hezekiah is no more his favorite than you are, nor is the Apostle Paul or Peter or anyone else for that matter. It's the same word of God. It's the same Holy Spirit. It's the same power of God. Is it too formulaic? Some might argue, yeah, this is, you know, you make a list of stuff. But the reality is, it's not the kind of thing that you're going to be able to fake for very long. You try to fake this stuff, you'll burn yourself out and end up falling away. You know, last week we read Paul saying, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul says, go ahead and follow my example because I'm living my best for the Lord. Is that something that we're able to say to others? So now we have another example to look at, some more principles that we can glean, some more things that we can process, some more pieces of the puzzle that we can put in place in our lives and see what can God begin to do in us if we hold up our end of the bargain, if we do these things in obedience to him because we love him. Let me say a quick prayer with you, and then we're going to move into our communion service very quickly. Father, thank you for a great day, the opportunity to come to you, to learn of you, and to be what you desire us to be. Thank you, Lord, for the examples you've given us, for the principles that we can glean from your word, Father. Help us not to be like one who reads it and doesn't do what it says, because that's like a man looking in the mirror and walking away, forgetting what he looks like, Lord. Help us to read, help us to see, help us to think, help us to apply, and help us to change. Change us, Lord. Mold us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.